Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, and guess who's back?
Guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back.
Yes, guess who came scrambling back down the little greasy road after a little holiday. You know, you do have to give some time off, even to the people who do the least work around here. Augie. Augie, say hello. And Augie kind of reminds me of somebody. Small, you know, looks like he's doing a lot of work, but actually in the background is doing absolutely nothing but getting lots of money for it. Yes, our friend, Mr. Zelensky. Now, Zelensky this week is celebrating his 40 days of action against Russia. Now, it may have been 40 days of action, right, Augie? But I don't think the action actually ended up working in favor of the boys in Kiev. Yeah, the little narco club. Anyway, let's have a look at some of the headlines around this 40 days. It's almost biblical, right? Some pretty bad shit happens in the Bible too. Run the video, Augie. Now, as the Western media sort of bigged up the 40 days, you know, it's over. So what has actually happened? Well, like I said, there's been a lot of things happening, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they've been happening in a positive way for the narco Fuhrer. It's actually quite the opposite. Odessa is closed. You know, the Russians are advancing. Konstantinovka has fallen. Advances in Kharkov. And of course, let's say the skyline of Kiev is changing somewhat. Yeah, I'll let the video do the talking. Run it, Augie. So while Russia is hitting petrol stations, I think in the Zaporozhye and Pavlograd regions and in Kharkov, they've probably destroyed over 300 petrol stations that are getting used by the Ukrainian military to launch the drones into Moscow. Now, life ain't going to get any easier as winter rolls in for these boys. No access to the sea, as we say. Logistics screwed. And they haven't even started to focus on the energy sector in Ukraine. How does this get any better, Augie, for the boys in Ukraine? Meanwhile, what's Zelensky doing? He considered it a success if he stops people getting deliveries of garden gloves, kids' Lego sets from Wildberries, you know, this big distribution Amazon, basically. It's the Russian Amazon. And of course, your pink dildos. And, you know, me and Augie, you know, we've managed to push on through, pardon the pun. But, you know, this is the reality. While Russia is targeting the war machine, Zelensky is targeting the dildo machine. Yeah. Run, Augie. Now, you know, it's a bit of a 6-7, as long, you know, it's a bit of a 6-7 situation, right?
6-7!
You might think that meme was dead. Well, maybe it is dead. Maybe it's particularly dead when failed corrupt politicians like the Chocolate King, Mr. Poroshenko, you know, who basically was the man behind the wheel when he started his anti-terror operation in Donbass in 2014, where the people were attacked by their own army. You know, it was a complete show. Where did it land? It landed us here in this pretty bad situation after 40 days of action by Zelensky. Yeah? Yeah. Run the video, Augie.
Це 6-7. 6-7. Це частота, на якій працюють ці вискавки.
If it wasn't dead, it's dead now. Now, of course, here in Moscow, we're kind of used to it. Russia's running out of missiles, men, toilet paper. We've had potatoes, carrots, pickles, cucumbers. And now, of course, it was petrol. Of course, the Ukrainians did attack some oil refineries, but Russia has a vast refining capacity and it very quickly switches and repairs the very small damage done because drones aren't like ballistic missiles that the Russians have. Let's do a little bit of science. Ilya? So here's the science. A Ukrainian drone carries like maybe 40, 50 kilos of explosive. a Russian ballistic missile, a Kinjal or a, you know, an Iskander, kind of different beast, like a puma and a house cat. Both cats, but both do very different things. Yeah. End of science segment. Now, about the failed sort of propaganda campaigns, right? You got to say to yourself, like, how involved are the Western media with this? Of course, they're very involved, because it seems that they all sort of get their little briefing note. This is what we're going to talk about this week. This week, we're going to talk about fuel prices. Check it out. All the headlines about fuel. But the actual headlines in Russia say something completely different, because now the fuel crisis, if it was a crisis, if sitting in a queue for a petrol is a crisis, Augie, is it really a crisis? Yeah, I'm not so sure. Yeah, but guess who's behind it? Guess who's behind it? Who could it have been? Western media? Yeah, surprise, surprise. Run the video, Augie.
So here's Bild, and they're saying that Russians pay €4 for a liter. And on their own screenshot, there is a price for a liter, which is just 80 cents on their own photo for the article.
Now, of course, you would have spotted a pattern, right? Well, me and Augie definitely have. Whenever Ukraine is losing a big city, a lot of territory, Odessa's getting shut down, Kiev is getting knocked out of it, the Ukrainians start to complain, right? The Ukrainians start to complain. It seems to be that this is their God-given talent, right? You know, it's just incredible, right? You got to blame somebody, right? Despite the fact that everything you have, literally everything you have in this sort of basket case state was given to you by someone else. 55 countries, hundreds of billions of dollars, probably heading for trillions at this stage, who knows? They got it all for nothing, okay? And they made a lot of money in the process. But when the goes to the fan because they used up all the Patriots at like $5 million a book for shooting down Shahids or whatever the they were shooting out earlier in the campaign, now they're out. The Americans are out too, but you got to blame somebody. And who are we going to roll out to do a bit of griping? Who's going to be rolled out straight to the front? You know who. Our friend, the Bankova Bandit. Yeah. Run the video, Augie.
Understanding such a large deficit, and I don't know if there are other reasons besides the Middle East. Maybe these are also political moves to make Ukraine, let's say, more compliant. Yes, in my opinion, that's not without merit, right? We understand that this is a serious challenge. We went through a difficult winter, but there was a decrease, yes, with each passing month. Today we are in a situation of, well, a deficit.
Now, of course, the war of choice in the Middle East, which is going so well, right? It's going brilliantly for the Americans, right? The Straits of Hormuz are still closed, which were open before they started this war. It's gone to shit. A lot of Americans are dead. American air bases wiped out. The American sort of forward operations bases in several countries being pushed further and further away from Iran. The Iranian government still in power. It's just going perfectly well, of course.
Of course!
And when the narco beggar and the beggar king, not Burger King, goes out and starts complaining, blaming everybody for his problems because the Russians are now kicking the crap out of him, the Americans kind of respond, okay? You know, and asked by a reporter, Mr. Trump, why aren't we giving more to Zelensky? He basically blames it on Sleepy Joe, our old friend, right? You know, Sleepy Joe gave them everything. The cupboard was bare. When I left, the cupboard was full. The cupboard is now bare. The cupboard is complete. It's all Sleepy Joe's fault. Nothing to do with your war where you used up all your patriots. You got nothing left to give them, Don. And guess whose fault that is? Yeah. The uni president. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You and Sleepy Joe. Run the video, Augie.
On Ukraine, President Zelensky says his country desperately needs...
Yeah, desperately needs what?
For
new.
Those Patriot missile batteries. Is that something that...
We want missiles, too. You know, when Biden gave him so much, Biden gave $300 billion worth of ammunition. You know, when I left, it was full. And he gave a lot of it away. Now we're rebuilding it, and we're using munitions that are very powerful, very good, but we wouldn't have been using them. We could have used something else.
I mean, Che, I think this is the most reasonable thing Trump has said in his entire presidency this time.
See, everything is fine with the big Don. Put your hand in his pocket, right? You know, something about the Patriot missiles, right? Guess how long it takes to make one missile? 2 years. It takes 2 years to make a single missile. Last year in 2025, the people who make these missiles had a record year of production. They actually made 600. You know how many have been fired? Almost twice that, at least. This is a bad situation. And of course, they've said, oh, we're going to give the Ukrainians a chance to build these things. You have more chance of a monkey flying a 747 to Epstein Island and collecting some evidence and bringing it back and releasing the Tate brothers. That's more likely to happen than there being an increase or the Ukrainians actually building Patriot missiles. What a complete joke. Now, of course, as things go from bad to worse for Kiev, you got to sort of, ramp up the PR fantasy, okay? And who better, Augie, than to bring in Laura Loomer, a woman who's been, committed to a couple of psychiatric facilities, is banned under the Baker Act in the United States from ever owning a weapon or a firearm, a completely stable person. But there's a rumor that she got $2 million to travel to Kiev to just by accident, because she didn't get paid, right? Just by accident, she met the president of Ukraine and sat down in a garden in the palace. And she also met the head of the Azov battalion, Andrei Bilyetsky, a devout Nazi. And this is all by accident because she didn't get a penny, right? Now, when I called out Miss Loomer on X, check it out. She had a complete meltdown, calling me a disinformation lodge. I'm a known asset. I'm a known asset, right? How much do I get paid from the Kremlin to do this? Well, everybody knows I work for RT, so I obviously get paid. I don't get paid as much as Augie, but I'm getting there. I'm hoping for a rise this. Loomer had a complete melter. So then I challenged her, as you can see, to a one-to-one debate anywhere in the world. I said, I'll fly there at my own expense, no notes. We'll sit opposite each other and we'll debate Ukraine, Laura. What do you think about it? What did she do? She blocked me. Blocked me. And I was all set. I'd bought myself a little tuxedo. I'd brought some dog food along for snacks. Laura, as we know, got $500. We're here to eat dog food live on air. I wonder what you'd do for $2 million. But look, I think it's worth $2 million, right, Augie, to actually find out that, the only single piece of useful information we got from our visit was we now have confirmation that Mr. Zelensky has never taken cocaine, Augie.
Absolutely believable.
Completely believable. Okay? Dog food, anybody? Roll the video, Augie.
There was a photo, I'm sure you saw in a video, and it was highly amplified by Russia today. It's you and Macron hanging out in some back room, and they said that you were all doing cocaine. So, true or false, were you doing cocaine with Macron or were you not?
Of course, never. Of course, no. Okay.
Of course.
Body language experts, do I see you? Are we ready? Come on. Now, we've been told for so long, over the last couple of months, just strange, just as the Russians are about to start hammering Odessa, Kiev, taking control of the skies, suddenly Ukraine is winning, we're told. Suddenly, the headlines start to appear. Ukraine is winning. Very, very strange, right? And of course, because Ukraine is winning, they still have to drag people from the streets. Because when you're winning, that's exactly what you have to do, right? You've got so many soldiers in your army, nobody's dying. You need to just keep abducting people from the streets. Now, here at the Moscow Mules, we've come up with an idea of little bits of advice, little nuggets of advice on how to prevent yourself being kidnapped to die for NATO. And this week's advice is have a very large cat. Yeah, we think that could prevent you from being dragged off, the bounty paid to the masked kidnappers, and you go east to die for von der Leyen and Mr. Rutte. Yeah, a big cat. Not dog food, Laura. Cat food this time. Run the video, Augie.
An encounter with the TCC in the forest.
Yes, it's a full-blown leopard.
The first encounter with the TCC. Yes, Zeus?
I certainly like hip endings like this, Che.
Yeah. Well, Augie, at least we know that at least one leopard had an impact on the battlefield in Ukraine. Now, you may ask yourself, why has the European Union passed a law recently that no man of military age from Ukraine can enter the European Union or stay there unless they've done military service, right? That's because they're winning so hard. When you're winning so hard, you need lots more men to die. That's what it is. Okay, so that's actually happening in the EU. But the EU is also getting a fresh supply of young, able-bodied men pouring over the border onto Spanish territory. And that's actually in North Africa. It's not actually Spain, but it is Spanish territory. It's kind of Falklands, Gibraltarish, Northern Ireland kind of gig, right? So get that straight. But they're flowing over the border. And we've seen these kind of post-apocalyptic scenes. this week, didn't we, in Ceuta in North Africa, which is surrounded by Morocco. Now, there's four or five different Spanish territories, if you like, alleged Spanish territories, not if you ask the Moroccans or the North Africans, dotted along that Mediterranean coast in the north of Africa. Ceuta is one of them. And I think between 70 and 80,000 men, predominantly men, poured over the border. Can this kind of thing happen by accident? You know, we try to get five or six people to come around to your place to have a beer on a Friday night. Nobody answers the phone. How do you get 80,000 dudes to jump over a fence at the same time? A bit of coordination? Possibly. Run the video, Augie. End of days.
I see here two or three full-blown divisions of doctors, teachers, and scientists.
Engineers, you forgot engineers.
Two divisions, at least.
You forgot the engineers. Now, you may ask yourself, why are so many Moroccans so desperate to enter the European Union? Well, let me tell you something about what Mr. Pedro Sanchez has done in Spain. Pedro decided in the last 6 months to legalize the presence of 500,000 illegal immigrants into Spain. Yeah. So, riddle me this, Augie. If you're a kind of a young Moroccan and things ain't looking so good in the economy, no welfare state, no chance to travel, you need a visa to get into the EU, and the Spanish neighbors decide to legalize 500,000 illegals, is that not a little bit of an advertisement? Small bit? Like, maybe, you know, Pedro, if you walk around with your trousers around your ankles and someone sticks a finger in your ass, maybe that's something to do with you needing to pull up your trousers, Pedro. Yeah. And when 80,000 young military-aged men pour across the border and you can't stop them, maybe that's also a little signal that you need to get your shit together. Now, check out just how desperate some of these people were to stay on EU territory. Of course, now remember, our friend Josep Borrell, Augie, our good old friend, told us that outside of the EU is a jungle and inside is a garden.
Yes, Europe is a garden. The rest of the world, most of the rest of the world, is a jungle.
Some people are desperate. So desperate that they'll go up the garden drain pipe. Yeah, run the video, Augie.
They're willing to hide anywhere, even in the pipes, in the walls, in the floors, and I can't really blame them, Che.
So you go through all the hassle and all the trouble of chasing these guys down, and you manage to corral some of them. Now, we know that there's at least like 1,500 kids, minors, people under 18 who are still in Ceuta, which can't be sent back. It's really a shit show, okay? You go through all the trouble to round these people up. There's fights with the locals, there's stabbings, there's all sorts of incidents. It's a real, real mess. You capture them all, you put them in the back of a military lorry, right, Huggy, and you head back towards the border. And then as the truck, you know, slows down, you haven't put anybody in the back of the truck to make sure the boys don't jump out. And what do the boys do as soon as the truck slows down? You know, you get, you know, a big prize for the first person who gets it right. Of course, they jump out. Yeah. Wow. Run the video, Augie.
There you go. They're just jumping out.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it wonderful to look at, Che? The Ukrainian man out to the front line, the Moroccan man into the garden.
Yeah. Replacement therapy? Now, I hear you say that Spain is under attack, or Spanish territory in North Africa. It's another story for another day's work. But it's not the only place that's under attack. In the United Kingdom, society is under attack. It's like the immune system is attacking itself. And this isn't just ordinary sort of ghettoization of groups. This is a rapid proliferation of knife crime and violence and drug-related violence, particularly in the big cities, Birmingham, London, Glasgow in Scotland. It's a very, very dangerous place, okay? We've come across some video which we think is almost medieval in its ferocity, okay? Now, when you talk about medieval, you got to talk about things like helmets, you know. All this stuff can be bought in the UK, so check it out. Helmets, okay? A breastplate, some greaves, some gauntlets, right? The whole thing, Okay? You can do it. You can get yourself ready. But you'd want to do that if you wanted to become a delivery driver in the UK. Yeah, you really would. Because that is how dangerous it's become to just try and make a living. Look at how ferocious this attack is on this poor dude just trying to deliver a curry. This says a lot about the United Kingdom. Oh, yeah. Run the video, Oggy. What did the fucker do? What did he do, Oggy? This dude.
I don't know. It's just a food driver going on his way. And, you know, the bandits want to rob him of his food, I guess. Well, we did a little calculation here, Che. And to survive in the UK, wearing a full plate armor, you just have to buy a good helmet for around £70. I was checking the British Amazon. You need a breastplate, around £100. The gloves, you need your fingers with you, £50. Of course, the greaves, which are the most expensive, £200. But trust me, you're going to like your legs not getting chopped off. So all in all, for an average British citizen to keep all his limbs in place and to survive a day out on the streets of London, he just needs around £450 to £500.
It's kind of what a family of migrants get anyway from the welfare state, so seems fair. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Moscow Mules. We love making it. We love you joining us. Now that Augie's back, we've got our heads together. And we're kind of thinking, you know, we've spotted that sort of narrative that's created in the Western media. They know what's coming down the pipe. They know that Ukraine can't win the war. So they know they've got to ramp up their propaganda. Accuse your enemy of that which you are guilty, Joseph Goebbels. A lot of that going on right now, because the future is not bright when you look into the crystal ball for our friends in Kiev. And the clown world that sort of surrounds the mechanism by which reality is something you read on a piece of paper in a newspaper or on a TV. That's not the case. Reality is what's happening on the ground in Ukraine. And ask anybody from Ukraine who's not sort of trapped in the country, and they'll tell you a very different story to that one that's coming out of Kiev. Well, we don't think anything's going to change quickly. It's going to go from bad to worse, but not for Russia. Mm-hmm. And we'll be here same time, same place next week to shine our little lights in the places where no one wants them shone. So until then, look after yourselves and look after each other. And we'll see you now.